Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Free For All. This is your host, Big John. And, you know, it's a hopping week this week from a libertarian perspective. Lots of everything going on. Good stuff, bad stuff, controversial stuff. Basically, what libertarians live for. It's a chance for us to argue, debate, point fingers at each other, all sorts of fun stuff that you find when more than one libertarian gathers. Or because, you know, the first thing they do is they accuse each other of not being true libertarians. Then they'll argue about issues a little bit. And then a fun time was had by all. All right, everyone, let me introduce tonight's guests. We have Mr. Jake Porter. And I was trying to, I'm sorry if I'm stuttering a little bit because my screen is arranged differently than usual. So Jake Porter, he joined us 2 weeks ago, where he had some initial investigative reports on Angela McArdle, who's the chair of the LNC. And that was very explosive, Jake, and everyone's thanking you about that. But Jake may or may not have some updates. We'll get to that a little bit later. That's a tease. That's what's called the tease, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, the dapper young gentleman sitting below you, who has put all of us to shame with his very stylish look tonight, I might add. Hody Johns. Hody, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Oh, doing so great. I am grateful to you, Big John, and grateful to Jake Porter, who is here, for all the work you guys do. It's been a busy week. We had some serious highlight and a serious low light for the Liberty Movement this week. I'm excited to talk about both.
Yes, we will get to both without a doubt. But let's start off, first of all, guys, I have a confession to make. I hate being wrong. I mean, it drives me nuts when someone says, you made a mistake, Big John. You were wrong about X, Y, Z. And you know what I hate even worse than that? I hate being called out about the fact that I may have been wrong about something. But we have to be adults in the room. And when I am wrong, I am wrong. I like to admit that I'm wrong. And here's something I'll say. In this particular case, I'm happy to be wrong because I would have bet money that Donald Trump would have never, ever pardoned Russ Ulbricht. I think I was of the opinion that he would never do it, that there was no upside to him doing it. But as we found out earlier this week, he indeed not just commuted his sentence, but gave him a full pardon. So let's just get reactions on that. Jake, did you ever think that this was going to happen? Like, did you feel that, especially since Trump had the opportunity, according to Thomas Massey, to pardon him in his first term, did not get it done. But then, like, within 48 hours of entering office this year, he gets it done. Give me your thoughts about that.
Well, there was a couple of things that concerned me. One was that he was in a little bit of a feud with Massey, if I recall, over, you know, Massey's protest over the Speaker Johnson. Right. And then there was also the issue that he brought this up to the Libertarian National Convention, that he was going to do it, and then he got booed. Would Donald Trump take offense to that and then say, well, you know what, the heck with you, I'm not going to do that. And so that was always running through the back of my mind. At the same time, it really didn't cost him anything to go out and just sign this piece of paper. But he doesn't have an election to run for. There's a whole bunch of political calculations. And there was also some people that were pushing back to make sure he did not do this, that he did not sign that pardon.
Right. Certainly some of the more hardline, I don't know if conservatives are the right word, or let's just say MAGA supporters, definitely you could feel the pushback from them. Like, who is this Ross guy? He's a drug dealer. I heard he's a contract killer. He hired people to eliminate his adversaries. There, you got all that pushback. I think, as a matter of fact, I saw one of the conservative Michael Knowles, I think, was saying, like, can someone give me a non-libertarian reason why I should be happy about Ross Ulbricht? You know, and of course the answer to that is, yeah, if you think he should have been double life plus 40, why not the CEOs of Verizon and AT&T? Basically, any drug dealer that closes a deal on his cell phone, it's the same principle, right? Why not go after the maker of the cell phone? So it is, like, it was a very strange thing. And it's also very strange to hear people say, why would he have been freed? Hody, give me your thoughts on Ross finally getting out.
As much as you hate saying you were wrong, I love saying I was right on this show last week. I said it was going to happen. It happened. The betting line opened up at like 78%. It went up to 82% the night before he did it. Went all the way up to 95% by the time I woke up. I could tell that that's kind of where the air was going. I really knew it was going to happen because there was so little to lose, so much to lose and so little to gain, right? Like, right. So if he had not done this, the libertarian backlash would have been significant. People would have recognized him as dishonest. Of course, he's been dishonest about many things, but a lot of people would have actually held him accountable to that, right? We did successfully sell out our own candidate, as Rand Paul and Thomas Massie noted. Libertarians absolutely came through on that promise. I worked on the Chase Oliver campaign. They 100% sold. I worked on the Joe Jorgensen campaign too. 100% sellout compared this time to last time. They fully invested in Donald Trump. We fundraised for him through some, you know, schemey ways, and it ended up, that's the way it worked out. This way, Trump can actually declare one of his executive actions war against people that do the things Ross Ulbricht did. And all he has to do and pay in exchange for attacking those thousands and perhaps millions of innocent people eventually is to simply let one man go. This is a deal the state will make every time. If you approach Joe Biden and say, hey, listen, we will ignore all the tax fraud stuff, any big taxation stuff you want to pass if you let one of our guys out of prison, Joe Biden would take that deal. This is a smart, savvy deal for the Republican Party. Of course, Trump did not do it on day one. This effectively turned it into a Republican victory by allowing Thomas Massie and Rand Paul to then say, like, hey, this is part of the reason we got behind you here. What's going on? Where is it? Angela McArdle promised us it was coming at top of the stack. That didn't happen. She then promised it was going to be that night or that morning. That didn't happen. Finally, the libertarians online, the Libertarian Party on social media, Rand Paul, Thomas Massie, everybody finally was like, you have to do this. And it finally got done. So I will say it's a little closer than I thought. I thought it was going to be a day one pardon. I will admit I was wrong about that. But thankfully, we raised so much noise that
guys, how much are we being picayune if we're saying it wasn't day one, it was day two? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, and again, it pains me have to say this, but like, how many flowers do we give McArdle over this? Because let me just take a canvas the group here. Do we feel that she was mainly responsible for getting Ross out? Jake, I see you shaking your head. No, talk to me about
that. Well, I doubt it. The only evidence we've got of that is her claims of that. It looks like he had promised Thomas Massie that before. And according to her, that he had had the paperwork in 2020 and was going to sign it right before he left office, but just never did. So it's something that's certainly on their mind. We've got her saying that it was going to happen, but she wasn't anywhere around in the inauguration day. You know, she was at a top of a hookah bar somewhere, dressed up like a cardboard cut out of a garbage truck. She was not around the inauguration party. She was not around anything to Donald Trump, but she was acting like she was talking to all these people. And I find that to be pretty unlikely.
Yeah, and again, I try to be fair with people, even people that I personally find objectionable or dislike on a personal level. I try to be fair to them. And in this particular case, she's claiming a W, right? Like some of her tweets, like, geez, there is no doubting that she's taking a victory lap, right? She's not shy about it. She's been very, you know, like, I'm responsible for this. When LPNY last week, passed a resolution condemning her, her response was, dare I say, childish. You know, it was sort of like, literally, it was like in writing, F you, I'm busy freeing political prisoners or whatever, you know, something to that effect. So, Jake, so you're not willing to give her any credit, or willing to give her a little credit?
I'll give her a little credit. I mean, she did bring this issue up. She did get it talked about. So she certainly gets credit for that. You know, one of my issues was at the national convention, whenever we were out there in D.C., she was interviewed by reporters and they asked her, well, what was the agreement that you had with Donald Trump? She did not mention Ross Ulbricht at that point. She said that, oh, he's just going to answer our grievances. Now, if the agreement was Ross Ulbricht, or did she come up later on that, oh, it's a cabinet post, it's Ross Ulbricht, or was it because that he had Mike Lee there and he was going to talk about some cabinet post? and that he also had Ross Ulbricht in mind that he was going to bring that up at convention, and then she just stole it. I don't know. We don't know, because you can't get any clear answers from her. You know, at first she told us that Donald Trump, that she invited him and Biden to the convention. Then we find out that Donald Trump invited himself to the convention. So she's just not a credible person to know how much influence she actually had. Maybe she had more than what I'm giving her credit for, and I'm open to that possibility.
Right.
He certainly did bring it up and has been talking about it a lot, and that has probably helped him keep that promise. So I will give her credit for that.
Fair enough. Hody.
I will give her a lot of credit. I think that this whole thing was crafted. It would not have been done without her. She overrode the will of the delegates in order to get this done. She ate up the expense, tanked the libertarian finances in order to host a rally there, right? She ran cover for him when all of a sudden he was supposed to address our grievances. He did not do that at the convention, right? We were promised that, and it didn't happen. And without that happening, the libertarian support for Donald Trump isn't going to happen, right? Without that, the delegates didn't want it. People didn't want it. Trump was an obvious authoritarian. And most libertarians recognize that trading one person for the lives of thousands or millions of others is a bad deal for us, right? So this was not going to happen without her. Thomas Massey gives her credit. Donald Trump, when he said Ross William Ulbricht in his tweet, some random person got acquitted, right? Like, he's like, oh, cool. Like, I just got pardoned out of prison, right, for robbing a 7-Eleven 7 years ago or something like that. Some random Ross Ulbricht. Yeah, but, you know, when he says he did credit the, I believe, libertarian or liberation movement or something. Obviously, in a credit to us, he did capitalize libertarian in that sense. So, yeah, the political movement. And yeah, like when he didn't follow through on day one, Libertarian Party social media was like, we got to go. Let's go. Let's talk about it. You know, Thomas Massey actually walked back what he said about that deal already in place. Thomas Massey's story actually doesn't make sense, unfortunately, himself, because he said he had that deal in place with Trump. And then he went on to clarify in a video later that he said Trump brought up Ross Ulbricht to him after he had spoken to Angela McCardle. So Massey even said, I had already made up my mind to support him. How should I say it? And then he said, when he talked to Donald Trump, Trump was like, oh, bring up the Ross Ulbricht thing. Like, let's say that. So Trump at that point had committed to it. Obviously, if he was committed to do it for Massey, you know, then he had already committed to do it for us. So yeah, I'll give her 100% credit for freeing Ross. I'll stand by that. I think this is a bad deal, but as far as this actual win, like, if I think it's a bad trade, I'm going to trade you my sandwich for one goldfish cracker. Might be a bad trade, but I will recognize we received our goldfish cracker. I do believe this man deserves to be free. I will not disparage that aspect of it all. It's the other side of that trade I don't like.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting because on the one hand, he pardoned Ross, which, however it came about, is a positive, right? And in the same breath, he renewed his calls for the death penalty for future people convicted of the same crime that Ross was convicted of the first time around. So you have this dichotomy. And to your point, it's a win for Ross personally and anybody who's advocated on his behalf, absolutely. But to your guys' point, is it worth the fact that, like, This same president is going to be calling for the death penalty for anybody else that happens to be convicted for what libertarians, I think, by and large, I don't know about these libertarian nationalists, I can't speak for them, but for just about every other branch of libertarianism, we don't think that drug offenses should be a crime, especially nonviolent ones. So that, to me, is always going to be a bit of a trade-off. All right. You're watching Free For All. I want to welcome everyone who's watching. Certainly, if you've got questions, feel free to pop them in the comment section, whether you're watching us on X, YouTube, Rumble, or Facebook. And speaking of which, William Del Pilar says, regarding Massey, he and Rand pushed in 2020 and nothing got done until now. He thanked the Trump thanked the libertarian movement, and one could surmise that's her, meaning McCardle, and she's the only X factor in the formula between 2020 and now. Oh, William is right, fellas, right? Like, I mean, the only difference between now, part of the other factor that maybe William didn't take into account is Trump's not running for re-election anymore. at least I hope he doesn't think he's running for a third term, right? So in essence, and this is true of any president, not just Trump, if you're in your second term, you're a lame duck the first day you're in the Oval Office, essentially, right? You don't have to worry, like at most, all you have to worry about is the midterm elections, getting your having your party retain power. But personally, Trump has no wins or losses here. And you could see some of this already. I mean, when he pardoned, blanket pardon for all J6ers, again, I'm not going to sit here and debate good or bad pardon. But by blanketing, pardoning all of them, you had a lot of people with egg on their face that literally less than 24 hours before had gone on to the major media and said, no, we're not going to pardon everyone. Certainly the violent offenders of J6 are not going to get pardoned. J.D. Vance, I think on CNN said that, right? And then what happens? He released all of them. Again, if you think they were political prisoners, all the more power to them being released. But if you're J.D. Vance, who else was it? Not McConnell, Graham. If you're any of these people who like got up and said, hey, we back the blue. If you were violent and you attacked a police officer, you're not getting pardoned. And yet they were pardoned. So we see that you have this sort of contradiction with Trump. I think, do you guys feel that it was some sort of race? Like he had to pardon more people than Biden did on his way out the door? Because Biden pardoned something like, I think the total was somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 total pardons, right? In the last 10 days of his administration. Do you think that it was some sort of race? Like, I'll pardon more guys than you will. Here, I'm better than you, Biden. What do you think? Anyway, Jake?
Oh, it's entirely possibly would. I mean, his crowd size is bigger than anyone else's, I'm sure. So why wouldn't he pardon more people?
Right. That's a good one. Size matters, Jake, I guess, is what we can say. Hody, do you think this was some sort of personal competition with Trump to outdo Biden?
I would say it was Biden gave him a smokescreen. You could see very left-leaning sites. News sources calling out Joe Biden for saying, listen, these pardons that you're doing right now, Joe Biden is just going to ride, or Donald Trump's going to ride your coast, right? He's going to catch in that drift right behind you. And then all of a sudden that gives him all the smokescreen he wants. You pardon all kinds of people, blanket pardons, right? Pardons that haven't been done in a really long time or have very limited precedent. You're kind of tossing them around, can't investigate anybody, no matter what reason. Of course, Donald Trump's going to abuse that power, right?
Like, right.
So he
right.
sees this. And I believe he did intend to keep a narrow scope for the January 6th thing. I mean, I don't trust him at all, but I believe that he really did intend to be like, hey, let's have a narrow one. We actually have news stories now that it was a late decision to pardon all of them, including the violent offenders of January 6th. And I believe that that is absolutely because Joe Biden did this. So I think it's actually big, not because he was trying to compete, but because Joe right. Biden gave him the smokescreen that he needed to get even more pardons done than he ordinarily would have.
I unfortunately, I agree with you. I think he was influenced. And again, if you're a leftist, if you're a Democrat, you have no recourse here. What are you going to say? Hey, he, like you had Biden pardoning not just his entire family, evidently, but also the anybody who was part of the subcommittee on January 6th, right? Again, whether you felt as if you're Biden, you felt, well, Kash Patel basically has all but said he's going after anybody who was on that committee, right? So maybe he felt he was doing a service to these people, but at the same time, at least on the surface, it just looks blatantly political, right? And then, I don't know, I was yesterday on Liberty Lens, plug out to my other libertarian show, Liberty Lens with Mike Termott. Oh, this is one of the things we talked about, right? Like, is this becoming a vendetta? Is this the Hatfield and the McCoys? Like, at some point, which side is going to be the bigger of the two and say, okay, it ends here. Okay. You got one of ours. It doesn't mean we have to get two of yours. And if you get two of ours, does that mean they got to get four? You know, the vendetta has to end, you know, and unfortunately, I guess from my point of view, that didn't happen with the Trump administration. They just upped it. Right. And they said, hey, you did that to us. We're going to do it to you. And unfortunately it doesn't end. Okay. Now in terms of the Libertarian Party, where are we? Okay. In terms of the Libertarian Party, other happenings now in the always fun LNC and inner party workings, right? We did mention the LPNY resolution that caused a little bit of a stir in on libertarian Twitter, right? Whereas they essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because I'm boiling it down to one bullet point, they essentially called for the resignation of McArdle. Is that a fair statement, would you say? That resolution?
Yeah.
And I think yesterday or earlier this morning, we had the LP Arizona essentially do the same, saying like, hey, you know, there's these allegations about McArdle having either embezzled money or improperly directed money. And if that's the case, we call for a full investigation, and more so she should do the right thing and resign. Now, all of this may, of course, have been precipitated, at least in a tiny bit, by my guest's work here, Jake Porter, and his colleagues at Liberty Sentries. And Jake, do me a favor. Can you shout out the handle, if you're so inclined, of the gentleman who helped you sort through this stuff in Delaware?
You know that? Let me look that up.
Okay. I'll give you a second.
Attorney there, and it is a Juvenile Bluster.
Juvenile Twitter. Bluster. Who's right? He's an attorney. From what I've been able to gather, and it's on your Substack, that helped you get down to who some of these LLCs that you're going to talk about actually belong to. So for anyone, as Jake unfolds the story here, for those of you saying, well, how does he know this stuff? He had someone help him in this endeavor who was adept at figuring this stuff out. So very interesting, Jake. So Jake, let's start out by what is it that you have found that is so explosive, as if 2 weeks ago you didn't lay enough bombshells on us about the inner workings with McArdle, the LNC, and her domestic partner, I guess would be the right phrase, Austin Padgett. Talk to me a little bit about that.
A couple of weeks ago when I was on, we had uncovered one hidden LLC in Delaware that was being paid out of the Kennedy Libertarian Party Joint Fundraising Committee and got paid $12,000. This time here we found one that was being paid right out of the Libertarian Party's bank account, their main bank account. And to go a little bit of background on this, Austin Padgett, the Chair Angela McArdle, it was her domestic partner, lives with her, she hired him without board approval in around August, summer, early fall of 2023. This then goes to the board. The board decides to approve it after the fact, but they put it in there. They changed the policy manual that you have to disclose this stuff from now on. Not only that, they're going to end the contract. The contract ends. His last payment comes in January 2024. Then payments start coming in at about roughly $4,000 a month to this company, this Freedom Calls LLC. And this company's been paid ever since February 2024. It's paid up as the last FEC reports that came out in November. So it's probably still being paid now, it appears, because they're canceling the contract. But this thing here is being paid, and I start to look at this because I looked at the Joint Fundraising Committee. So my investigative work was taking now a look at the Libertarian Party. And I'm thinking, I can't find any information about this company. It says it does fundraising telemarketing, but our fundraising is down the toilet right now. So what are we getting for this $4,000? And I do a search for it, and I find out, are they making any other, what other contracts do they have? And I find out that the Libertarian National Committee is the only federal campaign or committee that is paying this company. I find a website for them, but the website doesn't list a phone number, doesn't list an address, doesn't list who the owners are. They claim they're a radical group of individuals. I'm thinking, well, who's gonna hire a radical group of individualists, right? Most businesses know, I'm a small business consultant, and businesses do a lot of stupid stuff on their websites, but they always have a phone number, and you always have the owners listed. They always try to at least sell you something.
Right.
So I thought, this is pretty odd. So we find out the company is incorporated in Delaware. The address that it goes to like a LegalZoom, it looks like, from best of my research, virtual mailbox, and they'll deposit your checks for you when they mail in, all that stuff. So we find out that the website was created, his last payment is the end of January, roughly 2024. This website's created January 2024. the thing's incorporated in January 2024, and then by February it's making $4,000 a month off the Libertarian Party. And so this was the next thing to look into, you know.
So let me just pause you a second, Jake. So what's critical here is that as far as paper trails go and as far as digital trails go, this thing didn't exist. It comes into existence January, and then February it's already getting payments to the tune of roughly $4,000 a month from the LNC. Right? Is that accurate?
That's correct. So Austin Padgett had made, I think it was like $63,000 roughly from August until that point. And then this thing here from February to November made about $45,000. So we're talking, you know, 90 grand right there.
Right.
So yes, it's pretty bad looking. So I'm trying to figure out what this company is. And that's where I used the attorney that helped me find the last one. I asked him, I said, can you help me? I've got another corporation to look at. And we were trying to get the documents last week after I found it, wasn't able to. So it was a holiday, wasn't able to get them on Monday and got them Tuesday morning finally. And sure enough, Austin Padgett was listed as the sole incorporator on this business in Delaware. And Delaware is very difficult. I've had people tell me there's nothing wrong with incorporating in Delaware. There's absolutely nothing wrong with incorporating in Delaware. But everyone knows if you want to hide who's incorporating the business, you go to Delaware. So it is very difficult. The state of Delaware didn't just hand out this information. You have to go through a third party to actually get it. It costs a little bit of money. There's a process to getting it. And so this wasn't disclosed to the Libertarian National Committee, despite needing to be in the policy manual. Right. And apparently DC law also requires it where the Libertarian National Committee is incorporated.
So we've got these payments and Hody, I think the issue here is that even if these payments by the end of Jake's investigation end up being for something that could be justified, consulting, strategic sessions, whatever the case may be, the very fact that the LNC as a whole was not made aware of these payments and weren't disclosed, rather, because somebody's cutting them a check, right? Whether it's the treasurer, whether it's auto pay, whatever it is, the money is leaving LNC coffers. And someone correct me if I'm here. We're in the red. As the LNC is in the red. The LP is in the red, right? It's not like I think the last accounting guys, correct me if I'm wrong, debt was greater than credit. Was like, in other words, they're losing money. They're not in default, but you know what I'm trying to say. They're not cash rich, right? So Hody, like, do you think in a situation like this, is it more the cover up of a potential crime? Let me put it like that, as opposed to perhaps this money being paid out, like, for lack of a better term, run-of-the-mill nepotism, potentially?
Yeah, you know, I'll let Jake speak to the legality of it. He's done some amazing work on that, and he's sounds like he's got a team there, and that is awesome what Liberty Centuries is doing. I can only speak to the morality of it. I don't, like, there's a lot of things in Robert's rules and, heck, the American law that are permissible. Many bad laws. It's legal to do many bad things. There are many authorized drone strikes, right, that kill innocent people that I would say are bad. So all I can look at is the morality of this situation. If I was going to hire my gal to do the phone banking, I would want everybody to know that. That's common sense ethics, right? I would want everybody to know. I'd be like, hey, listen, and I know how this looks. So I tell you what, here's a videotape of her on these calls. Here's her working every day, right? Like, that extra level of transparency would be something I would do. If I say she's the most qualified person for this job, and it's the first time she's done this, as Jake Porter notes, first of all, that's rather dubious, but I would want other people. If I say, hey, my confidence is there, I would be honest about it. I would be forward about it, and I would put it forward. This whole thing is deja vu. The Angela McCardle situation is deja vu. We have had this happen before where she is hidden payments that go to him. We find out, we say, oh, I guess technically it was in our rules that like, it's not in our rules that you should do it, but it's not against our rules saying like this thing can't happen. So let's add a rule here. It's just wildly unethical. So let's make this unethical thing you did a rule, so that way it won't happen again. And now we have found that this unethical thing has been happening all along, as I'm sure Jake is going to get into here. This is the motion on the LNC right now to stop payments is leading by a vote of, there's 16 members that vote, or 16 total votes that count. Some people and their alternates vote. We are waiting on 3 votes. Everyone else has voted yes, including 2 alternates, which don't go towards the final value, to cut off that payment to Freedom Calls LLC. They're now doing an investigation into this, as they should. Currently half have not voted, but the other half that have all have voted yes. This is blatantly unethical. There are people that I thought would never turn on Angela McArdle, especially after Ross Ulbricht, that like Ben Weir, Chatterton, right? Like, these are people that I just assumed would be for her no matter what. Teflon Don, she could shoot somebody on the lawn and it would just bounce right off of her. This is so blatantly unethical that nobody with any common sense can defend it at this point.
Right. And I agree from the ethical perspective. And that's a nice wrap up. Now, Jake, getting back to you so you could continue what you found here. So I don't want to put anything, any words in your mouth. Please continue. Tell me more about what you found.
Well, this here is, you know, is what we found. It now goes to the National Committee. And so the first thing you've got is this accurate? Well, when the, you know, saying, well, she, you know, she's not answering any questions, but she's able to go on Tim Pool's podcast. She's able to respond to everyone thanking her for freeing Ross, but she's not able to answer these questions. That looks like pretty much a confession to me that this is accurate. I don't know. And furthermore, if the National Committee thought that my research was wrong or faulty, they would have not voted to terminate a contract with a legitimate company. They would not unanimously be voting to terminate a contract with a legitimate company. So I'm right. Confident that what I've found is accurate, that, you know, now some of the people have come up with, oh, well, he's probably hired people. He doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I mean, it does matter. But to the basics of it, it doesn't matter for the ethics parts. What she did was wrong. It's even worse if they find out they didn't do anything. You know, if they can't produce a contract, if they can't produce invoices, if they can't produce a work sample, that's even worse. But it's just wrong from the very basis of it. It doesn't matter whether they did a good job, whether right. they did work. The whole thing is completely unethical and against the policy manual and should be stopped.
Right, right. And without alleging any behavior on anybody's part, but to a person on the outside looking in, such as myself, this literally seems like a case of, okay, look, your initial consulting contract, you know, you had that running for a while. We said this shouldn't be allowed. We kind of terminated that, and you kind of had to figure out a different way to get roughly the same amount of money into your coffers once the direct consulting contract was sort of cut off. Again, I'm not stating that that's what happened directly, but it appears that way. And to Hody and Jake's point, the mere appearance is why you disclose this stuff, right? It, like, even if you're innocent, and I think, Jake, 2 weeks ago I asked you the question, and Hody I have asked this question too on previous episodes, is do you think that this is incompetence, or is it like direct knowing bad behavior? You know, is it just like a couple of, hey, happy-go-lucky anarchists who don't know nor do they care about the rules and F the government and we're not going to give them our information and we don't have to file? Do you think it's more that, or do you actually think there's purposeful deceit going on here? Either one of you can answer just whatever you think.
I think it's a combination. You know, there's another point to be made. The National Committee could have found this. Shouldn't have taken me to find this. Somebody on the National Committee could have found it. Now, there is a culture that has been created that Beth Vest will tell you this, Mark Dunovich, people that have questioned the committee in the past have been viciously attacked by members of the committee and also the chair. And you learn very quick that you're not going to get answers to your questions, so you might as well not ask, or you try to find them yourself, and you may or may not find them. You may not have the resources right. to, but you don't do it. You don't question the chair, or they're going to come after you. And that has created a culture where this has happened. So is it incompetence or is it, you know, there's definitely something that happened that shouldn't have. That's definitely malicious. There is also probably some levels of incompetence. You know, that one of the people, Ben Weir, who resigned has told me that he was, you know, doing his fiduciary duty. Well, were you doing your fiduciary duty if you weren't able to catch this? I don't know. That's up, you know, the board does have a fiduciary duty. And one reason why they may be turning against Angela is that she's put them in a really bad spot. They have a fiduciary duty to the donors of the party. It appears that none of the LNC knew this contract was continuing on for Austin Padgett in this form. And so she's put them in a really bad position, and she's lied by omission. In fact, it goes a step further. In August of 2024, she tells them to remove Austin Padgett because he's no longer in a conflict of interest because he's no longer a contractor with the party. So she is painting, well, technically that's true, the company now is, but she's painting a picture that's not accurate to the board members.
Well, she's if, you know, having, if that's what she said, even if she hasn't lied, to your point, the withholding of information in itself becomes the lie. It becomes the misdirection. It becomes deceitful. Hody, your opinion, purposeful deceit, I should say incompetence or defeat or deceit. What do you think?
You know, I've been big on giving people the benefit of stupidity a lot, right? I do dumb things sometimes, right? And like, I understand politics gets complicated. The problem that we have here, obviously you can use Occam's razor, right? The easiest answer is simple, right? She's hiding payments to her baby daddy, right? Like, and that's what it looks like to anybody with an ounce of common sense, right? And so what happens is what I'm doing when I see this is, even if I reject Occam's razor, she's actually been very intentional in hiding these steps, right? It takes work to hide the name of Austin Padgett, right? Like, we've gone through steps to do that. That's taken effort. If you were just stupid, you would just say, oh yeah, Austin Padgett, my baby daddy's doing all our phone banking. You know, you just talk about that, right? Like, he's the guy doing all the work. That would be stupid. Right. What we have done here is we've gone to Delaware. Anybody who's read Laptop from Hell, who knows the way Joe Biden has hid all his money, like, you go to Delaware, right? Like, we intentionally file here because it's very difficult to trace to us, right? Like, this is how we filter money. You know, this is not new information. She's just unfortunately done it poorly enough that Jake caught it, but just competent enough that the rest of the LNC decided not to question it. To Jake's point that she doesn't like being questioned about this, and that threat is what it is. What she'll do is she even said this last week, I'm trying to get another political prisoner freed, and you're here.
Yes,
trying to
I saw that tweet. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, of course we want political prisoners free. If we think you're actually going to come through with it, we'll look the way on a little bit of corruption, a little bit of negligence, whatever it may be, right? Steal a little bit of money. Sure. If you're going to get another person free, but it turns out that really that was just saying, don't ask questions, stop poking your nose into this. Cause as soon as you do, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. That actually makes a lot of sense now that Ben mentions, or that now that Jake mentions Ben's resignation, because he was the one who probably should.
And for folks watching that may not be steeped in LNC politics, could you guys tell me who Ben Weir is? Give me a little bit of who he is and why his resignation may have been significant.
I'll give you my experience with him. I believe he goes by Ben the Emo ANCAP.
Emo ANCAP Twitter. On Twitter,
yeah,
yes.
On Twitter, yeah. This is a person who said that Jews are like the most violent minority on earth or something like this.
He was trying to, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he was trying to make some point, and he was trying to be, in typical Mises LPNH fashion, he was trying to be shocking and trolly. And he said, per capita, the Jews are the most violent people on planet Earth. And he took that debate on.
Right. But, which isn't true, but also, like, it, as you mentioned, and actually this is to my point, Big John, that he is in that same edgelord, say a terrible thing, drum up controversy and brag that you've got people talking about it, right? Like that's the win. People are talking about it. I pooped on the bus and people are talking about it. I won the attention race, right? Like that's kind of his shtick for me. And it's a very pro Mises message, right? Very pro LPMC. guy from my perspective. And so that's why, to me, this is who he was to me. Again, I only know the social image he projects to himself, right, and his job with the, well, his job, what his job was with the LNC. Now that we have the truth, like, a lot of this makes more sense. But go ahead, Jake, with as far as who Ben is.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jake, how was Ben's role within the LNC, and why do you think it's significant that he resigned?
Well, and I don't think he was all bad on a lot of stuff. I mean, he opposed, I think, the joint fundraising committee. So there were some things I think he got right. I don't know much about him. I know he was an alternate, so he didn't get a vote unless the rep would step down for not show up to a meeting. I think it's significant because it shocked everyone. It shocked everyone to where it's causing resignations, or apparently is causing resignations. And I think that's the important takeaway from it, that at least they're feeling some pressure, which they haven't in the past. They've always, oh, everything's fine. You know, I uncovered some stuff, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and everyone just ignored it. They just covered their eyes, covered their ears, and act like right. It wasn't going on, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't until they seen money actually moving from the party's bank account that they could no longer ignore it.
Right. There wasn't an intermediary step. It was like LNC checkbook to free calls or freedom calls or whatever it was, LLC, which turns out being owned by Austin Padgett, who is Andrew McCardle's domestic partner, baby daddy, as Hody said before. To your knowledge, did Ben Weir give a reason for his resignation? Did he publicly state why he resigned? Hody, you're nodding yes. Do you know what do you have his statement handy by any chance? Or?
Yeah, I believe I actually do here. He did cite that he became a father. And that he's going to be dedicating more time to his family. Just reading this, how here he's resigning. Recent events have led me to reflect deeply on the trajectory of this body under the unilateral direction of the current chair. As stewards of liberty, I believe we must hold ourselves to the highest standards of integrity and transparency to earn the trust of those we represent. I'm working to uphold these values better as well. So it's a little less about that. He does say he's doing Punks for Liberty. Your co-host, Mike Termott, was actually on there, I think, just a day or two ago. So he's doing that as well. That's listed here. It's not specific, but it is very obvious that he does mention the current chair. He does mention the standards of integrity and transparency have been defined.
And the unilateral direction there is, to me, sounded very key, right? Because it's not like, hey, we had a consensus around this. Somebody picked up the baton and everybody was following the drum lead or whatever, you know, and I've never had interactions with Ben, to be honest with you. I do see him on Twitter as the emo ANCAP and stuff like that. I did see that he's a part of Punks for Liberty. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, you know, punk rock libertarians, that sort of thing, you know, maybe appeals to my youth or whatever, my lost youth. So I've never had the opportunity. So I am not saying this about him in any sort of judgmental way, because I don't know the man. I've had zero interactions with him. So it would be wrong for me to judge him on anything other than what his social persona has been. So, but from what you guys have told me, and Hody, thank you for reading his statement on why he was resigning. It does seem as if he had some sort of moral crisis. I don't know if that's the right phrase or not, that, hey, something happened. While he's not calling out the specific things that Jake has discovered, it is curious to me, Jake, that a lot of these bodies that are now saying, like, hey, there should be an investigation, we should do this, came only after you and your team and your compatriots there actually dug this up and actually have started to provide people. Now, it should be clear, folks, Jake isn't like doing a sort of a Sherlock Holmes where he's using deductive reasoning and he doesn't actually have any hard evidence or anything. Jake, you actually have documentation. You could produce this stuff, correct?
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that people have tried to do is, oh, you don't have to know your facts. Well, the facts are there. Now, I don't have bank statements from Angela McCardle or Austin Padgett. I can't get that. That would be illegal for me to get that. Right. Well, we can take the steps to know this is where the money is going to. This is who's forming the corporation. We know enough to start an investigation. We know enough to know that the policy manual was violated. Now, just because we don't have all the facts of where the money flowed from beyond that point doesn't mean there's not a fire here. And, you know, the other thing, she does have some supporters, and part of it is how dare you do that after she freed Ross? So my question is, how much embezzlement do we allow for freeing Ross? You know, I ran for governor of Iowa. Governor of Iowa. I got the current governor of Iowa to pledge to restore voting rights to 50,000 Iowans, and she did it. So how much money do I get to embezzle from the LNC for my good deed to get those 50,000 Iowans their voting rights restored? Right. I want to know, and I want to take that money out of there. Corporation in Delaware. No, we don't allow theft. We don't allow fraud. We don't allow that. And it's just moral, and it doesn't matter what other good things you do. You know, there have been organizations, libertarian movements, that have kept people on that were allowing the sexual harassment of women because they were doing a good job. You've got to have those moral standards, and you've got to stand for something here, or else people are going to get hurt. And it starts, it's on everything, and finances are certainly one of them.
Yeah, and let me just take a quick break. If you're watching Free For All 8, thank you for joining us tonight. Really appreciate everyone who's watching. If you have any questions for either Jake, Hody, or myself, if you have any comments, hey, if you're an Angela McCardle supporter, please let me know why you're a staunch supporter of McCardle. I'm open to hearing explanations as to why this might be a legitimate sort of expense, that this is legitimate. Explain to me that you somehow effed up paperwork. Explain to me. I want to try to, if there is a justification other than I freed Ross, because to Jake's point and to Hody's, okay, credit, you got your flowers. You played a part in having Ross pardoned. Awesome. How much is that worth, though? We already, you know, first of all, there's the policy, right? We already talked about that. One Ross for potentially thousands of others who are going to face the death penalty in the Trump administration for the same crimes. That's the moral sort of dilemma with supporting Trump. The second one is, if in fact these payments found their way to the McCardle Paget home, and these were undisclosed, and they were not for services rendered, legal services rendered, then, to Jake's point, how much is tolerable? How okay is it? What's the price on Ross's head? Get him out. Is it the 45 grand that's been flowing into that LLC? Is it more? Can we expect more money to flow in that direction? And how can you justify it when the party is underwater when it comes to finances? So it's not just the, like, I did not disclose it, guys. It's the, like, I'm taking money while the LP ship is sinking. We're taking on water financially. Membership is down. The donations are down. And by the way, they're all down as a direct result of the direction that Angela McCardle, the LNC, the Mises Caucus, throw in Michael Heiss if you want in there. Let's face it. They're the ones who are deciding how this thing operates. They can blame Chase Oliver all they want, but it's not Chase Oliver who has, you know, the troll accounts. And interestingly enough, guys, I just want to say I have McCardle has me blocked, so I can't reply to her. She can't, attack me or whatever. But I've seen some of the responses. Her literal response to the LPNY was F you. The opening sentence of her response was F you for the whole word there, you know what I mean. Then to Hody, I think Hody, you mentioned it. One of her other responses was, stop bothering me about this stuff. I'm trying to get political prisoners free. You see her attack dogs, Adrian Maligon, some others, like they're going after state affiliates who don't align with them and things like that. How much of this, guys, do you think does she bring on herself by just, let's face it, having a very nasty disposition when it comes to dealing with people who don't agree with her?
Absolutely. And, you know, she lists her occupation as Libertarian Party slave on the FEC documents when she sends a contribution, you know, as she's taking money into her household, what it appears to be.
I was not aware of that. She actually puts that down as her
LP slave is put on there. And that's just ridiculous. And it's trolling the membership. And it's trolling the donors. But yeah, this is completely, and people have asked, why didn't you go to her? You know what? I can't go to her because she blocked me. And right. All these people that, oh, now the LNC is being nice to me. Well, that's great. But I can tell you some other things the LNC has said about me over the past 2 years. I probably said a few things about them too, to be fair. But, you know, the way they treat people, you know, Adrian Maligon told me bye and explicitive, you know, because I wouldn't renew my National Party membership because of the way he was treating people, you know, calling LNC members fat cows, pigs, you know, all kinds of livestock, and just treating people poorly. I don't want to be associated with people who do that. And when you treat people like that, donors are going to leave and no one's going to trust you. And you're going to get a committee that are just a bunch of yes men that aren't going to investigate or do anything because they're going to be afraid of being attacked.
Yeah, I'm on the cultural side of liberty over here, right? Like, I run a Christian organization. There is no ethical way I can pitch the Libertarian Party right now. You will be called F-slurs. You will be called this. I came from the Republicans. Listen, we have some nasty policies, kill lots of people, but it's easy to portray yourself as a compassionate Republican. At the moment, it's very difficult to portray yourself as a compassionate Libertarian. Good people, frankly, do not want to associate with this. When do we get the most media attention? When LPNH speaks up, when Angela McCardle speaks up. We ran a anti-trans, when she runs an anti-trans makeup line, right? Like, we get a lot of attention for this stuff. You know, and it's not that all libertarians are bad. It's just that's what people know us for. You know, by their works you shall know them. That's in the scriptures. Right. That's Jesus Christ telling us that. Well, here are our works. We're calling people nasty names. We're being cruel to people. We're backing up warmongers. We just got behind somebody who doubled the IRS up, right? Like, and now that's our works, right? Like, I don't want, I'm not going to lead Christians to this, right? Like, absolutely not. And so from that perspective, and whether you're Christian or not, just ethical people are like, I'm looking for an organization where that's a minimum, right? That we're treating each other with respect, with kindness, right? Our disagreements are professional. You know, this has gone so far out the window for Angela and people like that, that it's just, you mentioned Adrian, a guy who's insulting Ovens O'Brien for doing no work as he's using Ovens' photograph for his profile picture. Like, her logo is on it. And he's like, what have you contributed to Liberty? Oh, Adrian.
Yeah. Adrian disappointed me because I had him on one of the first editions of Free For All. And guys, picture this debate that I had. It was Adrian Maligon versus Joshua Eckel. And they were on the show, those two. And literally could not have asked for two more gentlemanly folks on that show. While they were on the show, perfect gentleman. And as the year went by, I'm like, that can't be the same Adrian that was on my show. Like, because I see his tweets, I see his email responses. I'm like, I, for a long time, resisted. I'm like, it can't be the same guy who's on my show, because then he'd be almost like a psychopath, right? To be this gentlemanly, well-spoken guy on my show, and then on these tweets, being like, the kindest word I could use is a bully, right? Like, just a bully. So you're right. The whole attitude of that leadership is very off-putting, to say the least. You know, that I'm not even including the LPNH guys, like the Kaufman. You know, I saw one where he says, well, if a baby can't afford their cancer medicine, maybe they should just die, or something to that effect. Like, I don't care if you could justify it with some Hoppian philosophy, or you could quote somebody from Mises or Rothbard to say that that's the proper free market response. It's a stupid response for a political party that's trying to draw people into the fold, right? At least you would think they're trying to draw people in the fold. Let's get to some comments and questions here. This is from X, so we've had to copy it in here. Liberty Sentries, who's been working with Jake, says, Ben Weir is also running for chair of the LPNH, with a proposal of his being an amendment to LPNH bylaws, allowing for them to endorse and support candidates who are not LP in partisan elections. He's making some good decisions, but he's also got some issues as well. Corruption isn't just concentrated in one person here, and even some people doing good can, at the same time, be acting in a corrupt manner. Jake, I know you're associated with the folks at Liberty Sentries. Do you care to comment on that?
Well, you know, that's a very good point that we have to call out corruption even in our own side, because and some people will say we're just infighting. We're infighting. You're airing our dirty laundry. Well, do your laundry once in a while, and you wouldn't have to air the dirty laundry.
Right.
The second that we ignore corruption is the second we are no different than the other parties, and it's the second that we sell out, and it's the second that we don't accomplish what we want. And I've had this argument with so many people, oh, it's just don't stop the infighting. Well, stop the infighting, does that mean stop fighting? You know, I've worked with radicals, I've worked with pragmatists, I've worked back then, we're called the reformers, everything else, right. And I can do that. It's not a problem. Sometimes I'll disagree with someone, but most of the people, I have never doubted their motivations. But this LNC has me doubting their motivations of many of the members and the chair, because we see stuff like this.
Right.
And I hate to question someone's motives, but they don't give you any other alternatives. I can disagree with you on strategy. There's a piece we can't do. This whole endorsing Republicans thing, that's against what we founded this, what David Nolan and others founded this party for. They right. didn't create this to be an offshoot of the Republican or the Republican Liberty Caucus. And if you want to do that, that's fine. Disaffiliate and do your own thing. Affiliate with another party. Become a caucus of the Republican Party. Right. I don't care, but leave the Libertarian Party if that's what you want to do.
Right, right. Well said, well said. Okay, from YouTube, Jocelyn Jeffries Fry. To say that her, meaning Angela's, behavior is unprofessional is an understatement. And Jocelyn, that itself may be an understatement that you just put up there. So thank you for your comment, though, Jocelyn. I appreciate you watching the show. And then from X, we have a comment from Amanda Griffiths. She says, free Angela from the LP. Which it brings up a good point, guys. How does one free the LP from Angela, or vice versa, Angela from the LP?
Well, Angela's the LP slave, and I'd say we should emancipate her. I said the LNC should emancipate her and remove her from her position as chair.
Now, for you guys, either one of you, because I actually don't know the answer to this, and maybe we needed Karen Ann Harlow's here to give us the parliamentary way of doing this, but what does it take to remove a sitting chair, if it came to that? Is it the type of thing where it's a motion plus a two-thirds vote? Like, is it the Judiciary Committee? Is it a combination of both? Do either of you guys happen to know if there's a process like that?
If you don't know, I will take my best guess at what this is. Sure. I think it is. I hate Robert's rules. I wish we'd burn them all. But the way I understand it is that there's the investigative committee, which they're in the process of forming. They will enter some findings to the full committee. The full committee will then vote. If they vote to, it's the vote to suspend, then it goes to the Judicial Committee automatically. And then from the Judicial Committee, if they decide to uphold it, then she's done. If they decide to return her, there's that whole process again. But then she would be removed. That's my understanding, and I could be wrong, but I believe that's the correct.
Sure. So we'll say that's the caveat from Jake. This is what he thinks, but it's not 100% sure of. My producer is giving me a note here. It says, removing the national chair of the Libertarian Party involves a legal process known as a derivative suit. This is where a member of the party sues the party's officers on behalf of the party itself. For example, Karen Ann Harlow's, the elected secretary of the Libertarian National Committee, filed such a lawsuit against the chair, Angela McArdle, for alleged violations of fiduciary duties and a misuse of party assets. This legal action seeks to remove the chair from office as a last resort to prevent further harm to the party. And that's like a civil suit. So that's one way of trying to remove her, right? But Jake, to your point, you were asked, which answered sort of my question, and thanks to our producer for getting that little bit of quick, AI, he's an AI whiz when it comes to this stuff. But the question that I was going for is, what remedy does the board of the LNC have? If they feel like, listen, I think at some point, and I've had other people that I can't name because they told me this in confidence, who were former LNC board members, who said there's something fishy going on here without a doubt. And prior to Jake's investigative work, they couldn't put their finger on it, but they knew something was amiss. Like the numbers just didn't add up. And they said that they're no longer on the board simply because we don't want to get caught up in any of this. We don't want anybody to say we had a part of it, whether it was intentional or through omission or through negligence, you know. Do you think that the rest of those, like you, we already said, Ben Weir resigned, again, not clearly stating that it was due to the fiasco or the mess that McArdle potentially finds herself in, but clearly saying, like, I don't like the way, you know, to Hody read the statement. I don't like the direction we're here, you know, so I'm scooting, folks. Do you feel that there may be some in the LNC now that are feeling like they've got the cold sweats and they kind of hear footsteps behind them? Like, do you guys feel that that may be the case right about now?
You know, they're in a very uncomfortable position, particularly the one group that has not really questioned McArdle, at least not publicly. And now they've got a break with the Mises Caucus. They will get shunned by the Mises Caucus. They could lose their positions. There's all kinds of things they got to think about. But most likely, what I would think about is the fiduciary duty you've got to the party, you've got to the donors. There are potential ramifications where, you know, lawsuits, things like that. But there's also the thing that they themselves appear to have been lied to through the omission that this was created. What else have they been lied to? They've got to ask themselves this question. If we didn't know about this, what else don't we know about? Right, you know, right now, I think there's $100,000 or something in credit card debt. There's a lot of questions and a lot of things that need to happen in an open forum. And instead, they've shut down the discussion list. They've tried to take everything internal, just like a cult. That's not going to solve the problem. You've got to get out there and you've got to admit there's a problem before anyone can fix it. And so instead, what they've done is they've buried everything, and the members that probably could fix it have gotten out, and no one wants to be on the LNC. So they will resign, they will leave.
Right.
And that's probably not the best option right now. The best option is probably to stay and try to fix it. And I think it can be fixed. And I think a lot of people are going to have a break away from what they've been doing for so long. But they can do it. You know, Karen Ann was aligned with them, and she has broke from them. So it can happen.
Massive props to Karen Ann, by the way. Every opportunity I get to give her props and a shout out, I do so. And like, I've asked her to come back on the show. She says it would be improper for me to do so while I'm involved in the whole legal situation. Plus also, of course, they expelled her as secretary on some trumped up charges. She actually took her case to the Judiciary Committee of the LP, and they found in her favor. I was a little shocked that they actually, because a lot of them are McArdle loyalists, right? They found in her favor. And from what I understand, they were still blocking her from resuming her roles. And even now, it's in a very perfunctory sense only. Go ahead, Jake.
Sunday, I believe they're actually going, McArdle has asked for a discussion, a meeting before all my revelations came out, to discuss removing Karen Ann again.
Right, so, right.
I imagine that she may want to rethink that Sunday meeting right now. It may not be a topic of discussion she wants to go towards, but, you know, that's her decision. But I would anticipate that's not good. The other thing I want to point out is these derivative suits might just go away if they remove the chair. It's a possibility. Right. I don't know. I can't speak for Beth Vester, Karen Ann Harlos, who have the lawsuits. But that would be a possibility, and that would save the party a lot of headache. It might save some people, you know, discovery and depositions and things they really don't want to go through. And we might be able to heal this. We might be able to fix something until the next national convention, you know, in 2026.
We might be able to hold it over. Yeah. Hody, how much worse is this made by the fact that you have a lot of high-ranking figures, both McArdle herself and those surrounding her, that are just nasty people? They're just not pleasant people. They don't like talking to you. They don't engage with anyone in a civil manner. So why are they shocked that nobody's cutting them any slack?
I mean, they've been cut slack for a lot up to this point.
By their own folks. I mean, just the general perception of why are they shocked that people, or I should say a significant chunk of the Libertarian Party and its members are very antithetical to both McArdle's methods and her personality as well.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to be dark about this, I think that they're upset more so that she's been caught than what she did. They have given her, I mean, the fact that you were willing to look the other way and not demand her resignation the first time, when in such an obvious, like we've talked about here now, like the fact that it's a rule that you can't be hiding money like this and she broke it shouldn't have to be a rule. We're libertarians. Right. We aren't supposed to need laws and rules. This is supposed to be governance of conscience, right? Like, and so the fact that they backed her the first time, if Nick Sarwark did this, hell to pay, right? Like fire, right? Like burn the place down, you know? And I had problems with Sarwark, massive problems. I still have him blocked on like everything. I am fine with a block button, right? Like I'm aware what the block button is for. There are some people you're just not meant to have a relationship with. I don't necessarily begrudge Angela for block. The last thing she said to me was wishing me happy birthday one year. Like we were talking. One day I woke up blocked. We hadn't interacted at all. I totally get why. I don't even begrudge her for that because I'm not going to let her say all these things and pretend that it's on behalf of libertarians, right? Like, and I don't want to interact with people like that. My block list is huge, right? There's a lot of people I don't get along with and I don't care to iron it out because they're not interested in liberty like I am. I think a lot of these people are interested in being big fish in small ponds, right? Like they want to be big people. They want to say, look at all that I'm doing. Look at all that I'm getting accomplished. And acting like you're small. Oh, I volunteered at a homeless shelter is nothing, right? Like I've been begrudged for this like work that I do in my community for our local pantry and our soup kitchen, because it's not advancing liberty really, right? Like it's not real work. But the issue is like you pointed out, Big John, these people have been very irritable. They are disreputable. This is not behavior that would be tolerated anywhere in polite society, you know? Right. And so now the thing is, on top of being irritable and angry, it was okay when it was the loser brigade you were owning, right? Like the people that you're smacking down, right? But now all of a sudden it's become obvious to everyone that you are corrupt. Right. Like this corruption is not deniable anymore. And so they shouldn't be surprised. I don't think there's I don't even pick up an element of surprise about this anymore. I just see the same hostility. It's just actually directed at some of them. And listen, every time something like this happens, you have a few fall off. A few LPMCers left because of the Tom Woods thing, right? A few left when Michael Heiss told a few lies. A few left, you know, when Angela wanted Trump at the convention, right? You have these divisions, right? And another chunk is going to fall off because of this. They're just hoping their chunk is still large enough to have that majority or at least a plurality, right? At the moment, I mentioned this last time, Big John, the problem is they're still the main characters, right? Like antagonist or protagonist doesn't matter. They are still the main characters when it comes to the Libertarian Party. I don't have any trust that what's going to come after this is going to be much better yet. We need a culture that recognizes that if you are slipping payments to somebody you're related to, I don't care if it's not in the rules that you're immediately gone. You need to be immediately gone, right? Like we need common sense to rules.
Right. And to that, let me just bring up a couple of comments here from Liberty Sentries again. LP bylaws would have the National Committee be allowed to suspend the chair. And then the appeal process with the Judicial Committee happens only if the chair files an appeal within 7 days of the suspension. And further on, though that depends on what's meant by suspend, in quotes, in the motions, most likely in the sense used regarding a temporary suspension, it would follow Roberts' more closely. So thanks again, Liberty Sentries, for that little bit. So just to wrap this up, Jake, first of all, I don't want to cut you off. Did you have anything else you wanted to add as a result of your excellent investigative journalism?
No, I want to make one comment though on you know, you talk about this incompetence or corruption. I said a little bit of both. There's something else to think. You know, Angela McArdle is making these horrible looking, you know, board games. She thinks she's designing board games. They look ugly. They are terrible. And this is what happens when someone, you know, only allows yes men around there and people are going to tell them this is a great idea. and that's happened to the national committee. No one is saying this is a bad idea. No one is saying this is unethical. You shouldn't do it. No one is saying membership is down. Donations are down. And we put out these reports, you know, that there was this LLC in Delaware that's been known for weeks, and no one did anything about it, that all this money was coming in from these Kennedy organizations into the over to McCardle organizations, and no one says anything on the LNC until it's absolutely too late. These things, if they would have done that, think of the tens of thousands of dollars. Whenever I started talking about this, we may be talking about, you know, $12,000 now that they could have saved the party if they had only listened. But they surrounded themselves with people that wouldn't. And so now they've waited, you know, they've waited and they've kicked the can down the road of not wanting. And now it is a major problem. And if they would have stood up at the very beginning, whenever she made the contract in August of 2023 and said, no, you do not do this, and removed her or made it very clear that that was not going to happen and did it right there, we probably wouldn't be seeing this problem today.
Yeah. And for those that may not be too aware of what's going on financially, like, I understand that if you're a Republican or a Democrat and you hear sums of money like 40 grand, 45 grand, 65 grand, you may say, well, so what? Yeah. But the Libertarian Party is not the Democratic Party. It's not the Republican Party. These are significant amounts of money that are being removed. The access the party would have to these sums of money is now gone, right? So that means less ability. And when you look at some of the things that happened, losing ballot access in New York State, losing ballot access in Illinois, I think, not supporting your own candidate, you know, and when you see this sort of thing, you know, you're like, okay, could that money that was going ostensibly for consulting services, could it have been better deployed? Could it have helped, you know, get the message out more efficiently through traditional means, or, you know, outreach programs or training programs, or having a website where you don't find these things that pop up like we support the end of birthright citizenship? And, you know, it's almost like you got to read the LP website every day and have the previous version from the day before to compare it against, because you never know what's going to change. Did you guys notice that? Like, there's entire positions on the LP website that all of a sudden it's like, wait, where did this come from? Like, literally, it says, we support the end of birthright citizenship, which, of course, Trump. Thing. Huh?
And, you know, they got a press release section. They're paying a communications director. And I don't see any press releases on there. I don't see any news.
There you go. Something as simple as that. Yeah, exactly. One comment, hold on, let me get to it because I don't want to miss anybody. Angela TC says the party is so broke they can no longer afford to print membership cards. So take that with you when you think 40 grand, 45 grand is not a significant amount of money to suddenly disappear from LNC and LP coffers. Thank you, Angela TC, for your comment. Yeah, guys, so let's wrap this up a little bit. First of all, everyone, please join me in thanking Jake Porter for doing all this, again, wonderful investigative work. And folks, if you could support him in any way, if you could support Liberty Sentries in any way, follow them. If you have a couple of shekels you could toss their way to help them when they do this stuff, please do so. Jake, please give us some contact info. Maybe give us the name of your Substack, your Twitter account, your X account. Please do so.
X account, Jake D. Porter, Jake D. Porter. And my website is jakeporter.org, jakeporter.org. Don't go to .com. That's a minister in Texas. But, you know, I really do appreciate everything you've done, everything both of you've done, and bringing these stories up. They're very good that we're having these discussions. And for far too long, you know, I think libertarians have put these discussions, we've pushed them away because we don't want to infight. We don't want to say the bad stuff, but we've allowed these problems to continue on for far too long without having these discussions, and they're uncomfortable. They certainly are.
They are. But like I've always said, you got to clean your own house before you start attacking somebody else. Right. And it's hypocritical. It's a losing position in the long run, you know, and it just leads to horrible politics and horrible decisions. So once again, Jake, thank you so much for all your work and for coming on and talking about it again. There's a lot of people who knew about this that I knew they knew about this, and they wouldn't come on the show. They said it wasn't for them to come on the show and talk about this publicly. So for whatever my gratitude is worth, you certainly have that in spades, Jake. Thank you for all your hard work. my man Hody, who has now possibly kicked off a fashion war, an escalating fashion war with me. I may have to come up with something. I don't know. Maybe I'll come up, I don't know, next week. I'm not a fashionable gentleman, to my wife's eternal chagrin. So, Hody, let the folks know where they can follow you and tell us about some other good works you might be doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with the Love First Christians. That's my main project. We're reading through the Bible in 1 year right now, having some good stuff here. I did want to just finish by saying Jay Porter told me, I think we interacted a couple months ago, and I was like, man, this is terrible what he's revealing. And he's like, I have a feeling we're just getting started. And I knew that feeling as like a church member, that when you find out somebody's a predator, they didn't do it once, right? They've done it before. If the church has covered up one thing, who knows, right? Like, and you just know you're getting started. It's a terrible sinking feeling, but this is a righteous, good thing that is good for the liberty movement. People see it as infighting, but let me use my Christianity here real quick. We got to pull the log out of our eye before we help anybody else out with our splinters, right? And this was a functional thing that the church did in order to grow. What they could have done, what everybody else did. Rome is doing very evil things. And by all these accounts, Rome was much more evil than any of these initial Christian churches. What did Paul focus on, though? He said, listen, we could call out their evils all day. What do we need to focus on? These epistles aren't to Caesar. He didn't write epistles to Rome. He wrote them to the churches. And he was like, listen, you guys are doing good. Here's how you can be a little bit better, right? Let's be more honest. Let's be more transparent. Literal transparency is something that occurs with the primitive church. They have a money problem. Some of the Messianic Jews don't feel they're getting their fair share. They say, hey, let's make this a public thing. Let's have a Messianic Jew on the committee, right? Let's make these changes. This is what turned Christianity into an early powerhouse against literally the strongest empire that the world has known, right? As libertarians, we should rejoice in that. Gatekeeping, it's not gatekeeping. It's saying this is the theme of our party, is going to be transparency and goodness and love. And as soon as you make the theme of that party, you don't need to gatekeep. People who are hateful don't want anything to do with it, right? Like it's like serving pizza at a party. And if there's somebody who's allergic to pizza, they're just going to say, no, thanks, I'm out, right? Like I'm going to eat at home instead.
Right.
So we fix up this internal culture. There is no limit to what we can do. We need to focus internally more than ever as libertarians, right? Like, The Trump, Biden, going to be evil, right? We talked about the pardons they've done, executive orders they've done. We could talk years about what they've done in the last 3 days between the two of them. Terrible, awful, evil people. Guess what? We have no power over them. As Christians, I'm responsible for Christians. I don't get mad at Muslims all the time, right? I don't get mad at atheists all the time. I don't control them, right? But if somebody cuts me off and they got a Jesus fish on the back of their car, oh my gosh, is that frustrating. They are bad representatives of my faith, right?
We want
everybody's best friend to be a libertarian, because that's really the solution here.
That's how you get people to come in, right? Like if you conduct yourself properly, that's the best advertisement for libertarianism that you could possibly have, more so than commercials or social media posts or anything like that. Well said. All right, everyone. Once again, thanks to Jake Porter. Thanks to Hody Johns for joining me tonight. Join us again next week when, fingers crossed, I'll have a special guest. Maybe we could get Mr. Nick Sarwark to come on and talk about what his thoughts are in this latest situation, how he may or may not have handled it, and maybe address some of his haters. So that'll be Free For All next week. Until then, this has been Big John, Jake Porter, and Hody Johns. Peace, everyone.